It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. There is lots to talk about. The fall upgrade almost here. We've got a date. Apparently, there's a hardware event, or a hardware announcement anyway, coming up end of next month. And we'll talk a little bit about some new deals for Outlook Premium and a signature PC program for your Android. It's all coming up next with Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 534, recorded Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. Hedgehogs prohibited. Windows Weekly is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/WW and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we get together with Paul and Mary Jo, and we talk about Microsoft. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley on your right. She's from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Paul's on the left. I'm in the middle. No, it's not that's not politically. That's just literally in your stereo mix. Yep. Hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Mary Jo. So, has anything happened since we gathered last Wednesday?
It's surprising that some things have, even though there was a long weekend.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. Hope you had a nice time. Did you barbecue in Emmaus? I think you got a beautiful new something. It looked like a barbecue.
Yeah, we did. That's true. Yep. We went to my sister's place at a campsite and had a barbecue there, and then we came back and had one here.
And you purchased a gas or wood?
Gas, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for lazy barbecuers.
Leo, you flick a switch and it comes on.
I know. My wife wants one of those, and I said, no, you will. That will insult my manhood. I must make fire.
I could probably start it with an app.
you probably can.
There's a smoker I've got my eye on that you can start with an app.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think smoked meats are considered unhealthy.
Yeah.
And smoked asparagus just doesn't do it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Smoked corn on the cob.
Mm-mm-mm. Everything tastes like smoke.
It tastes like the fall.
Tastes like the fall.
When we burn the crop.
Burn the leaves. So Microsoft says, I think they say this was an actual announcement that they're going to have an event in October. Yeah.
Well, we knew they were going to have an event October 31st to the beginning of November in London called Future Decoded, which they have had, I guess, for the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
We knew that. But this morning, we found out one of the keynote speakers is Panos Panay.
Aha! Head of hardware.
Yes. And it sounds like a little bird has been tweeting to The Verge saying, this is probably the Surface event, guys, for the fall. Here it is. And the reason that's surprising is usually they come to New York City and do a big separate event for Surface. They've been doing that for the past couple of years, every October. But we think this might take the place of the traditional New York City event, that they might make this London event the Surface launch.
I just moved so I could be closer to New York City, and then they moved it out of New York City. So
I know.
Thanks.
We're not 100% sure this is the only event, but I think it might be.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. And, you know, so there are reasons that make sense as to why that might be. If Microsoft doesn't have some big new hardware type or category to reveal, Mm-hmm. They probably don't need to come to New York and be on TV and have all the big glitz and glamour, right?
Well, they could do, you know,
a smaller event.
Yeah. I also think this is part of their world initiative. Like when they had the event in China for Surface Pro, one of the things they made the point was we're not just United States, we're everywhere. And yeah. I think by having something in Europe, they're kind of continuing on that theme.
Yeah, it sounds good.
You know, I give them the benefit of the doubt.
You do. Sometimes you do. And I think, you know, if they were going to announce some brand new thing, like say they were going to announce Andromeda, whatever that thing is, the tablet that we think might have telephony capabilities, I don't think they would go to London to do that. I think they would do it in New York.
The only thing is, I agree with you about that, by the way, but I think the one open question is, we know that the first Windows and ARM devices are still expected by the end of the year, supposedly, and it seems like Microsoft would want to be on the forefront of that.
I think they want their OEMs to be on the forefront of that.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, and so let's say what we've heard are some of the rumored things that could be announced at this event. So one of the ones that keeps coming up is a Surface Pro with LTE built in, because they did say in May that they were going to do that.
Yep.
They never said when. They never said how much. They never said Intel or ARM, right?
Right. That's
so
true.
It could be Microsoft Surface Pro with LTE. I would guess Intel based, but I don't know that for a fact, as one of the announcements.
Do you think they're waiting on the always connected PC initiative for that, or do you think it matters?
I kind of do think that. Because to me, when I hear anything Windows with LTE now, I think about the always connected thing. I'm putting those two together in my mind. And as we know, those always connected PCs can be Intel or ARM based, so they could go either way. But I'm thinking, just because we've known they've had power issues with Surfaces and they're trying to not change a lot of things and just kind of get their quality story in check, that now might not be a good time to try an ARM based Surface. I don't know.
Okay.
They haven't done one in a
while. That's fair.
Right? What was the last one they did? Surface 3? Was that ARM? No.
No, Surface 3 was Intel, but Surface 2 was ARM.
It was? Okay.
Yep.
And then RT.
Yeah, but the Surface 3 was, I think I want to say it was Atom-based, right? So they did have an LTE version of that.
Right,
So these sound like relatively minor changes. You don't think there'll be a big redesign or anything more spectacular?
No.
Leo, can I once again comment on your hair, which is fantastic?
It's getting wilder and wilder.
No, it's good. I like it. I just literally got my hair cut, and now I'm regretting it.
I missed my my hair appointment a week ago, I think, and I'm going away, as you know, in a week. So I thought, well, either I try to get an appointment in the next week, or I just say, the hell with it. I'm old now, and I always wanted a mane.
You are on the way.
It's a maniac.
You almost look like a Gloucester fisherman. Come home from like a week out
more
at the
Stokowski, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah. No, like
Type of
guy who would
wear
like a waterproof sweater.
Dead,
you know?
I have one of those. I could wear turtleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going Linux ponytail because he always talks about Linux.
You're the guy who's like, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. I figured I have now enough age that I can pull that off, you know, the gray mane. I don't know. I don't know. It's, you know, me. I go through phases. Most of them childish and stupid.
Well, Leo, honestly.
I'm glad you like it, though, Paul.
I'm a little jealous.
Well, it's not falling out, but it is definitely going back. See, one of the reasons I comb it is to hide the recession.
Yeah.
That there is quite a bit of, you know, I got a widow.
It's very natural. No, there's nothing to be ashamed of there.
Nothing. I got a high forehead. That's what they say.
A high forehead.
There's a lot of brains in there.
Oh, sure. Well, we just make an incision. We bring that thing right down. So you never even know.
Yeah. It's called trepanning. Yeah. Just cut a chunk out of the skull there and squish it down. So, will you go to London? I would if I were you. I'd say, hey, that's it. I'm going to London.
It's a tough sell when it's not a big bang event, right?
Well, so it isn't a Big Bang event. I was hoping.
I mean, we don't know for a fact. We don't know. Like we're saying, maybe a Surface Pro, maybe a Surface Book 2 or 3 or whatever number we're up to with Surface Book, right?
Yeah.
But we're not hearing like any brand new thing, not like a laptop or the Studio or Andromeda. I think it's just going to be more like, you know, of course, Microsoft won't play it this way. They won't say, oh, it's just an evolution, not a revolution. They won't say that, obviously. But, but we're thinking more incremental updates. We don't even know if they'll get USB-C in these new products.
Chat room is saying it's more a Jim Ignatowski. I see because as you head toward the holiday buying season, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm noting that Apple, Samsung, Google, all these LG, all these companies are releasing new products, and many of them are having big events. Nissan. So I think that this feels like that if you're going to get in that parade in October, and Sonos is doing its event in October. Google's doing its event. That maybe this could be come on, let's get the Courier out or something cool.
Hey, look who's here.
Who? Oh, I thought I saw a putty tat. Is his name something like, you know, Mr. Boots?
No, his name is Sriracha.
Oh, I like it.
In Sriracha Hops.
Ooh, I like it.
He's my new kitty.
Is he new? Really?
Brand new. Brand new.
Congratulations. Your first?
First here in New York. Yep.
Oh, you know, Lisa's quite a cat lover. We have.
I know.
She has a couple, right? Three. That's way too many. And she's always threatening to get more.
One more and she becomes a cat lady.
Sriracha. Yep. What, a boy or a girl?
He's a boy. He's 2.5.
He's a very rescue kitty then.
Is that a kind of hops? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It is. Sriracha Ace hops are from Japan.
Okay. Not sriracha sauce, because people are going to think you're talking sriracha sauce.
No.
It's a spicy cat.
He's been spicy so far.
You like him? Are you happy with him?
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
He's
been a good help in the office.
Oh, it's nice to have a kitty cat.
It is.
And this is because your apartment now is so vast.
Yeah, that's it. No, actually, now I can have one. Before I couldn't have one.
Look at him. Oh, we're going to get ready, kids. This is going to be a regular appearance. We're going to need a little Sriracha button or something.
Lower third.
My cat is literally hiding under a couch right now because the people
are
here.
Cats are traumatized, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
From the move?
Actually, they're pretty much over it, but they don't like they're still, yeah.
Are you letting them out? Because when we moved once, one of our cats never came back. She got lost.
No. I would never. No. No, these are indoor cats.
Yeah, so you're not letting them out.
Yeah, they did try to get out through the garage the other day.
I've heard it said that even if they're outdoor cats, you should keep them inside for a little while till they.
Till they get adjusted.
Adjusted, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they might try to go home.
Sriracha is Sriachi.
Mm-hmm. Sriracha. That's him, Sriracha Ace.
He's a dual purpose hop.
He is.
Does he actually hop?
He hops up on everything pretty much. Looks
like you know what? He's a cuddle cat. You're very lucky. An affectionate cat is wonderful. Yeah. Most of
the norm is ambivalent.
Yeah. Most of them ambivalent.
And vaguely disdainful.
Disdainful. arrogant. Uninterested at best.
I want to have him learn how to sound the gong. That's going to be his best trick.
Cat gong. Very nice to meet you, Sriracha. Sriracha. So,
sorry, we got off track.
So, London, late October, nothing too big. Maybe an LTE Surface, maybe an ARM.
Surface Book 2.
Maybe a Surface
ARM Book 2. An outlier, but I suppose anything's possible.
Any rumors about what a Surface Book 2? I guess, actually, it could be the 3, really, because they've kind of dialed it up. But maybe a new design, like are they going to lose the clothespin or...
I don't know. I had thought before they would surely do this. But now I'm wondering, you know, there's a generational change that has to come with Surface with regards to expansion, you know, USB 3 and so forth. And I feel like they would kind of want to do that all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to say. They just did Surface Pro with 7th gen, right? So 8th gen's, I don't know, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know.
I actually have come around a little bit on the Surface laptop. I'm Increasingly liking the hardware on this. Yeah.
Do you like the fuzzy keyboard?
Well, it hasn't. It's worn okay. I mean, Yes. Well, yes, I do. I just am concerned that in time it may not wear well. But I think as it is, it's very nice. It feels good. Yeah. It's a nice thing to rest your palms on.
I don't think I would seriously doubt they would do Alcantara on the Surface Book, but
I don't think they'll ever do Alcantara again.
Alcantara. Right. I mean.
But what about colors? You know, that's something I'm curious they didn't do that on Surface Pro.
Yeah, and this is burgundy one. That's the color you have too, Mary Jo.
But that's the thing, by the way. Yeah. So beautiful. Surface Pro is still magnesium, right? The material?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
I assume.
I think so.
Well, I don't.
Yeah.
Which
you know,
means it's the same as its
deposited,
predecessor,
right? On something. I don't know what it is.
No, I think it's. I think it's
all
actually
solid.
I believe so.
Okay.
The Surface laptop is aluminum, so it's a different material, and that's what allows them to do the coloring, right?
Ah.
So if the Surface Book doesn't change its design, it makes sense that they would stick with magnesium. In which case, you probably would not see color options.
Yeah. This is beautiful. You know? I mean, this really is a sweet looking.
It is a nice looking machine.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
it
really is. I agree.
You know, if I were going to say what I'd like to see in a new Surface Book, I was saying this to Paul earlier today. I would like it to be less tippy because I was stunned how tippy that is, even though it's a laptop.
It's because the battery's
really
in the
sensitive
lid.
To this.
No, the battery's.
Oh, you
in
mean the
lid.
Surface Book? I'm sorry.
The book.
Sorry.
This one's not that tippy.
Oh no,
the
you're
Surface
no, by
Book because it has two batteries, and so it's just.
It's heavy.
You know what that is, though? There's a style. I think I talked to you about this one time where, you know, when I have a laptop on my lap, I without really thinking about it, I'm putting my palms down to hold it, you know, from falling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think with Surface Book, you know, you have to do that. It's a big machine.
Yep.
And so maybe if for you, is that something that you don't want to have to do that? In other words, you are typing probably a lot more lightly than I am as well. Because I'm hammering away on that thing.
Well,
but
you know what surprised me was when I put it on a table, the book, and I tried to use touch with it, I could just knock the thing right over. And I'm not touching it like
that's
boom.
That's the problem. It's a touch screen. That's I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
If you were just typing on it and never touching the screen, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal.
Yeah.
Sorry, Leo. When they first demonstrated Surface laptop, which is also a touchscreen and actually is also pen compatible, despite the fact that it's just a regular laptop.
Yeah.
It was probably Pano Spinet, but whoever was doing it.
Yeah, he held the back.
Put his hand behind the screen, you know, when he wrote on it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
Wow. This is an interesting shot, Paul.
What's that?
I'm just looking at your shot. I hadn't really noticed it before. It's very
stark.
It looks like THX 1138.
Yes. So also 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Well, we're making progress though, right? So we have electrical work occurring today eventually we will be painting.
Yeah, because I saw wires coming out of your
wall. Then I'm going to move again.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like that, doesn't it?
So one interesting thing to observe about the London event, and Dave Panrios brought this up on Twitter to me today. Do you know London still doesn't have a Microsoft store?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so if you think about this, it would seem like if you were going to have a hardware launch in a city, you would want to have a store there so that when the products are available to show off, you'll have a place to send people.
Well, London, but see, England does have a variety of retailers for this kind of stuff, right? It's really interesting. You know, Europe has a big retail scene, which is something that in the United States, I think, depending on where you live, has kind of gone away.
Is that
right?
The cat or is that the electricians?
I think it's the electricians. I'm like, is that the cat? no, it is not the cat.
So it's likely, you know, they have, I don't know if they refer to them as high street shops or whatever, there are these electronic retailers in the UK who will be, are probably Microsoft partners that are stocking this stuff. I mean, I bet it's not as big as an issue as maybe it could be, but yeah, you're right. They absolutely need to have those stores there.
I know. It's surprising they still don't, right? So, yeah.
It would be interesting to see a Snapdragon based Surface. Yeah. That would be, what would you get? You'd get LTE. You'd get less, better power.
I think for a portable device, you would get better battery life. The question would be how that changes if you run one or more x86 apps, right? We don't know how that's going to work. So Microsoft Office and Edge, those things will be native to the platform, but you know, maybe you want to put Chrome on there. Maybe you want to put, you know, whatever on that, you know, whatever, you know, Win32 apps, normal Win32 apps. So it's kind of an open question right now. We don't have the hardware to even test it. So it's, we're not really sure.
Okay. You know, it would be crazy and it would drive Paul crazy if they did a Surface Pro LTE with Windows 10 S preloaded on it.
Oh, no.
Well,
yeah.
Those are nonsense.
An ARM-based one.
No. Well, by the way, there will be ARM-based Windows 10S machines, right? Yeah. I mean, right. ARM is just the platform. It's, you're going to see Home and Pro and, well, maybe not Home, but you'll certainly see different versions of Windows on there. So it's not like there's going to be a Windows 10 ARM edition. It's, you know, it's Windows 10S, it's Windows 10 Pro, whatever. So, yeah, I actually do expect that will happen. In fact, you know, it doesn't fix any of the central problems with Windows 10S, but it does enhance some of the attributes of those types of machines, battery life in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a system on a chip that includes usually LTE radios as well. So.
Yep.
Cool. I should mention that Qualcomm is a sponsor. Snapdragon is a sponsor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I
can also mention that we've been looking forward to this since last December,
right,
because...
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not just Microsoft that thinks Intel needs a little bit of competition to keep things on the up and up. No, seriously. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. I mean, it's I'm interested to see how they're going to impact the PC industry.
Yeah.
Because I think Intel's had it kind of soft for a long time.
Yeah.
And AMD was the only challenger. Now all the ARM manufacturers are a challenge. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of 10S... Microsoft's decided they're going to keep that upgrade offer alive a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
A little longer,
right. So the way this news was delivered was very interesting.
Yes.
Microsoft buried this in a blog post about Surface laptop colors.
You're kidding.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
That's funny.
Way down in the near end of the post, it said, oh, by the way, you know, we told you you could upgrade for free from Windows 10S to Windows 10 Pro until the end of this year. Well, guess what? You're going to actually be able to do it through March of 2018.
Wow.
So I think it's very good news, extension of 3 months. Microsoft gave as the reason in their blog post that they wanted people to feel confident if they got a 10S machine as a back-to-school type device or as a holiday gift, that they would have the option to switch if they decided they couldn't live with 10S.
Yeah, that actually that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, my initial reaction to this was a little more negative.
Surprising.
no, but actually, you know, I thought about it overnight, and as I often do, laying awake at night
thinking
in bed.
Thinking about Microsoft.
I came up pro Microsoft on the other end. No, I actually think it was the right thing to do, and I guess you could kind of make the argument that maybe it's the right thing to do for an indefinite time period. Maybe they should offer a version of Surface Laptop that just comes with Pro, since everyone's going to
it's more of a pro
switch to it anyway.
Priced machine, frankly,
for sure.
So, but and, they didn't offer new colors. It's the same colors, but just more places. So it was really kind of a throwaway blog post, but then they stuck this in at the end.
I know, it's kind of funny. But, you know, but they make a good point because a couple things just happened. First of all, these things were not available around the world in these colors. So it is kind of a news item for much of the planet. That's important.
Yeah.
Consumer Reports just came out and said, by the way, we don't recommend these products anymore. All right. And so here's a way that Microsoft can kind of return a little bit of normalcy to the conversation and say, look, what if you open this thing on Christmas Day, 6 days before this offer was going to expire? That might not be enough time. I think 6 minutes is enough time, but it might not be enough time to, you know, test Windows 10S. This will give them the time that they need. And I think that's appropriate. I think that's good. I think it was a smart move overall. And by the way, a little bit, they did bury that in the other announcement. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they did say it publicly. They didn't just change a little asterisk in a website somewhere. Sure. They didn't wait until November to do it. They did it at the right time.
You're right.
And the reality is the type of people who would be burned by this are going to go into a store and have a conversation with somebody about it. They're going to have part of that conversation will be, by the way, this thing comes with this thing that you may not want, but now they have a good story to tell because there's plenty of time to, you know, to switch it back to something they do want.
And so I, as we've talked about on several episodes, I disagree that people automatically just dump it. I think a lot of the people who will get this devices with this preloaded either won't know they can go to pro, they won't understand that, or they won't care because they won't need it. So I would love to see the telemetry data, we never will, about how many people when they get a Surface laptop with Windows 10S actually move to pro. I would love to see that number.
We won't, because the number is incredibly low. But the and here's how you kind of know that, right? So we have whatever opinions we might have about it. Microsoft could very easily just offer this SKU with Windows 10 Pro right now. The problem is if they did that, we would have some idea, because it's not just going to be sold on the web. It's going to be sold at retailers and whatever else. And you could find this information out. Oh, by the way, everyone ordered it with Windows 10 Pro. The ones we made, with Windows 10S aren't selling.
Yep.
In whatever case. So, I mean, this is, you know... the conversation really, what it needs to be is kind of the conversation around rapid release and Windows 10 and Windows as a service, right? We all have our opinions about this stuff, you know, and you can kind of fall on either side depending on what's going on at the time. The truth is it's not very clean because there are problems, there are pros and cons, right? The broad strokes rationale is the same for both. This benefits everybody. In other words, if this thing could just work, everyone would benefit. You know, the problem is in order to get us there, they have to kind of push us in this direction. Mm-hmm. And obviously we're going to push back as users. That's what people do. So in the case of Windows as a service, what we see is lots and lots of rebooting, lots of updates. I wrote a story today where I was saying, you know, consider the average computer user from 7 or 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. They buy a computer with Windows on it and they use it for some number of years, 5 years, 7, 10, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That thing has that version of Windows on it the entire time. Nothing changes. You're never going to go into control panel or the start menu or some dialog box and it's never going to be different. They're going to update it, but those things don't change. Well, now imagine that same person does buy a new computer with Windows 10. That thing changes every 6 months. And those things that never changed before actually often do change. Control panel, start menu, whatever. Like, and that's a big, big difference. And we don't actually yet understand the ramifications of that. Because it's one thing to say you're going to keep Windows updated as a service. And that sounds great because you're putting bug fixes in the system or whatever. But they're not just doing that. They're updating features. And I'm actually not sure that's such a great thing to do to people. Because we in the tech industry think new stuff is awesome. But, you know, normal people are like, where did you hide my soup?
You know, I don't know, it's Luke, like things are different. Look, if it's not an exact parallel, but look at phones. Like when my Android device gets an update, I almost never know what it is. Like I just take it. I'm like, okay, yeah. I guess it lets me do some new stuff. And that's interesting. Oh, this isn't here anymore. That used to be here. Now it's over here. And it doesn't like flip me out because I'm like, things change.
But I think,
a PC is different. I know.
Yeah. I think they're different types of devices. But also, in some ways, the way that phones are updated is starting to match the way people upgrade, right? On a device like iOS, there's a big chunk of that user base that's going to upgrade every single year. And so they update iOS every year. It's great. You know, on Android, most Android devices don't get the latest update anyway. And so it sort of works like it does on a computer. You buy Android, you might get the next version, but they don't change radically. Yeah. And that is a less disruptive experience for people. Like, you know, we, and I mean, I'm talking tech people, you know, would complain like, oh, Android never gets updated. You know, that it stinks, fragmentation, whatever. But honestly, to most people, not only is that not an issue because they don't even notice it, but it might actually be kind of a benefit in the sense that it's not, they're using it for a reason. They're using it to post to Instagram or to, you know, look at Pinterest or something, whatever people do these days. But they're not doing it to, oh, look, if I hold and click on the screen now, a little menu comes up. Isn't that cool? Right. I don't think people care about that stuff.
Yeah. And I think most Windows users, normals, don't care about that stuff either.
Right, which is my point. You know, which is my point. So
I mean, they might not even notice it. You know, like it's funny because I switch back and forth between Windows 7 and 10 a lot.
Yeah.
And I see people doing things on Windows 10, and I'm like, oh, you can do that on Windows 10. because I don't use it every day. And I'm surprised. I'm like, oh, I don't really care because I'm not going to like change the way I do something.
You know, right? Remember, it would be a little jarring for you, I think, if you went back to the first version of Windows 10 to compare it to normal Windows 10 today, because it's weird how things change, you know. Remember, it's like, older versions of Windows.
I was going to say, this is controversial, but I feel like Windows 7 and 10 aren't that different.
I don't know you anymore. Honestly, at a high level, it's true, right?
Yeah.
Start button, start menu, taskbar, desktop, folding windows. Yeah, absolutely. And depending on what you're doing in there, you know, if you run Chrome or Microsoft Office or whatever, your experience is going to be kind of the same. But I think there are disruptive changes that can occur depending on what you're used to, what you do, you know, that kind of thing. And in older versions of Windows, we used to complain when arbitrarily it seemed the start menu would just change. And so people would say, well, I'm so used to I do this and I click here and I go here. Yeah. And now I clicked here and where did it go?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you do.
And now we're seeing that within Windows 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Although I'll say in the time, I think I had the Surface laptop for 2 weeks maybe and using 10S. After it's weird how fast you do kind of just adjust too, right? Because not having Chrome, I was like, at first I was like, I don't have Chrome. What am I doing? And then I was like, oh, it just became a habit to start using Edge. And
I never got past that.
Yeah. So I guess it depends
on what you do. It depends on how you work.
It does. Yeah.
For example, this week I started using Vivaldi, which is a Chrome-based web browser. So it has the Chrome rendering engine. You can sync your bookmarks and your passwords and everything over to it. It looks and works a lot like Chrome. You can really customize the UI. It's neat. But then you get into these weird little things where it doesn't do some things that Chrome do. Some of them are big things. Like one of the things I like to do is pin web apps to the taskbar with Chrome. It works really, really well. There's no other browser that does that works like Chrome does. Vivaldi doesn't offer it at all. So you have to pin tabs in the browser, which is kind of how you do things in Edge. And I don't personally like that. That to me is a big one. But there's even like small things like Alt-D on any browser on Windows will bring you to the address bar. So will Control-L. Vivaldi only supports Control-L. That's not the one I use. And I sit there like an idiot wondering why it's not selecting the taskbar. And after a while, it's like, I find that to be disruptive.
Yeah, and like I was saying to you today, you know, there's this new Outlook.com beta that I have that I've been using. And there's the one thing I can't get past. It has conversation view embedded into it. And Paul's like, yep. Yeah, you know what? It's going to make you finally give up hating conversation view. No, I find it so complex and it isn't the way I work. And every time...
No, I know you hate that. Yeah.
Every time I see like a message coming to the top, I'm like, is that actually the latest message? Is that a message I sent? Is that a message I responded to? I can't really tell because of conversation view. And so that made me turn off the Outlook.com beta because I've heard that they're going to allow you at some point to disable it in the new beta, but right now you can't. And for me, by the way, that's like deal breaker.
Yeah, so it's a beta. And I this is tied to this, actually something else I wrote this morning about Windows 10, which is that as you evolve a platform like this, where in this case you're getting rid of control panel and putting stuff in settings, you lose things, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't need those things. And so it's like, whatever, it's fine. Like the guys who were using Outlook.com at Microsoft who were testing this thing, no one ever complained about conversation view because it's a Microsoft feature and those guys probably use it all the time. It doesn't mean it's not going to be there, but that's the type of thing you have to be really careful of. You can't just replace something and not offer the things that people are used to anymore. It's like a regression type bug or whatever.
Oh, but back to the original point, 10S. what we didn't mention was after March 31st next year, if you have not moved to Windows 10 Pro and you have 10S, it's going to cost you $49 unless you are a student.
Right.
So
still
you have to
bad.
Decide.
I mean, that's not.
It's not that
still
bad.
Right. That's true. I agree with that. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's actually the cheapest ever Windows upgrade when you think about it. Aside from some promotional things Microsoft did.
Yeah. That is you, isn't it? That sound?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm like, I keep looking like,
electrician's
where is the
cat? Passing back and forth behind him. Haven't you noticed?
I know. I'm like, it sounds like a chunk of wall is coming out. And,
it is,
you know.
Literally, yeah.
We're going to get through this together.
Yeah.
Moving, moving right. Actually, let's take a break, and okay. We'll come back and have more of the thrilling and exciting adventures of the electrician. Mm-hmm. By the way, I have to say, I'm not sure that OneNote on the web is really the best tool for this. As you can see, I can.
So I would close the Skype thing you've got going there.
Yeah. Well, it's just opened up. How do I close it? There's no...
At the top, that S thing at the top in the gray part.
The S thing? This? See, that's not obvious, but okay, good.
No, it's not
and
obvious.
And why is Skype in... How did you get Skype in my OneNote?
It's just like that commercial where you got your peanut butter and my chocolate.
Yeah.
Oops. Except you can't get it
now
out.
I added another column. How do I get rid of these columns?
You can't on the web version. I know. I'm so sorry.
Wait a minute.
But by the way, you have a Surface laptop.
Oh no, it works fine on the this. But I use this machine.
I'm sorry, that was a Mac. Yeah.
No, okay. This one's Linux. But I use this machine for the on-screen stuff. And I'm looking at the.
No, on the web version you can't collapse those. Columns, but on a client you can.
Yeah. On my laptop, yeah. I can see that one. I only mentioned that because I want to show the web page for the folks who are listening and want to know more about the Ring video doorbell. I am such a fan of the Ring video doorbell. And I have the original Ring video doorbell. They have now the Ring Pro. Ring has been... Look at all the products they got. They got several video doorbells. The Elite, which is power over Ethernet. I think that's for somebody who knows what they're doing. I don't have power over Ethernet coming out of my front door. I have the original doorbell, which is great. It replaced my my ding-donger on the front there, which really kind of looked ratty. Anyway, and this is very nice. You get different finishes to match your decor. If you want solid gold, that's nice. That's pretty. And then what you get in this thing is a HD camera. You get a microphone, a speaker. You also get a motion sensor. So when somebody – and then it connects to your network. If somebody's walking by the house, you can get a notification on your phone. When somebody rings your doorbell, you can answer it and say, what do you want? It is awesome. Ring also makes – this is the ultimate in home protection. The floodlight cam, which is the only motion-activated HD security camera with built-in floodlights, two-way audio, so you can talk to the bad guy. And if they don't run or the deer don't run, press the button on your phone, even if you're at work or across the world, an 110 decibel alarm goes off. It's awesome. They even have a solar-powered Ring spotlight cam. So there's lots of choices at the Ring site. I want you to go, if you want the floodlight cam, I've got a great deal for you. It's the Ring of Security Kit. If you go to ring.com/www for Windows Weekly. You can get up to $150 off your Ring of Security Kit, which includes a Ring video doorbell and 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams to cover the whole house. Isn't that awesome? I just Ring's Wall Street Journal's Best of CES 2017. It is, if you look at the Ring neighborhood at ring.com/www and look at the neighborhoods, this is something new that they've launched where you can share your Ring doorbell with other folks in your neighborhood and create a neighborhood watch. They did this in Wilshire Park in L.A., put Rings in 1/10 of the homes, but got a 55% reduction in burglaries. It protects your house, and it can even protect your neighborhood. Get a Ring. I love my Ring. Ring.com/www. Save up to $150 off a Ring of Security Kit. While the electrician's there, why don't you get him put a Ring in your house? Oh, you should really. It's awesome. Actually, you could do it. I didn't have the electrician come out. I have him come out for things like what you're doing, the white switches.
I'm thinking about doing a little motion detector thing. I feel like I don't have enough floodlights in this house. There's like 27 outside lights here for some reason.
Well, it's a big house, right? How many square feet? It's a huge house.
It's big. 3,500, something like that.
So, you know, but you're in a kind of a country setting, so it's not like you worry about people.
Oh, no, it's bucolic, Leo. It's.
I've seen the pictures. Yeah, it's bucolic. Yeah. That's a good word for it. Yeah. Looks great. I'm actually quite jealous. It looks really beautiful. You posted pictures at Therat.com in the
Oh, they're on Instagram. They're probably
on Instagram. Yeah, I saw, yeah, that's how I keep up with you. I see the Instagram. Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. Surface Mini?
It's back.
Mini me, you complete me. What is Surface? Wait a minute. What's the story here? I thought that was dead.
It's dead, Leo.
Dead and gone. Oh, this is just the marketing materials.
Yeah, there's no new information here, I don't believe. The red thing that they show is the thing I've seen.
So I didn't realize this is for a product colors. That will not be released.
Yeah, they canceled this 3 years ago. Yeah. So, in fact, the big story to this product for me is what didn't happen, which is that this was going to be the big release that year, Surface right. Mini. Surface Pro 3 was like the side story.
Right.
And, of course, when they made that last-minute decision to cancel it, and I think we've told this story where, you know, they'd actually manufactured some of these, I believe, largely to give them to the press for review.
Right.
They kind of recast that event around Surface Pro 3 instead.
Was that a 7-inch screen? What was the size on that?
I believe...
A little bigger, maybe?
7 or 8, yeah, seven. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
It was small.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Hence the Mini.
That's right.
It had a kickstand, didn't have a keyboard.
That's right.
Had a pen.
Did have a pen.
Yeah, I worked with the old Surface Pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, then it was the new Surface Pen. It was the one that probably debuted with 3.
It was Windows 8.1 RT.
Oh, Windows RT. Right. RT. So this would have been the last RT device if they had done it.
Right.
But they didn't do it, so Surface 2.
Yeah.
Is the last shipping device.
Yeah. So how did this leak out?
Evan Blass found it.
Yeah, Evan Blass got the data sheet and more pictures. Yeah.
He gets everything. He must go through the dumpsters. Right? That's got to be it from dumpster diving. Somebody's cleaning.
He's made leaks into an art. Let's just say that.
He's pretty good at it. He should get a job doing this.
What does he do? Besides tweet leaks, do we know anything about?
Well, he writes now for somebody.
VentureBeat,
right?
Oh, he got a job. Good man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he seems on top of everything, and I haven't kept score, but it feels like his almost always his leaks are accurate.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he's very good. Accurate. Yep, that's true.
It's really interesting to see people like, well, Mary Jo's one of them, and Mark Gurman, who've just cultivated sources, and just, you know, it seems like there's no secrets. What are you playing with liquor, Mary Jo? What is the? It's amazing.
No, you know what's funny? One time I think I even talked about it on the show one time. I wrote a whole column one time about motivations for people leaking stuff. And the reasons people leak stuff are so crazy sometimes. Like sometimes they're mad because they lost a job or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Other times they just want to be like the person who leaked it.
Yeah.
And you don't know.
There is also a more altruistic reason as well. Like I often hear from people who are not happy with the way things are going, and they sense a sympathetic ear, which they're right about, you know, that, you know, I like the way you handle things, or I like your approach to this stuff. I think you would handle this the right way kind of thing. And, I mean, sometimes it's absolutely somebody disgruntled, but you know, but a lot of times it comes from the right place, you know. They don't feel that they're part of Microsoft is doing the right thing in Microsoft's case or whatever it is. And they want to, you know, reach someone who maybe can get the word out and maybe change things from outside.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or like it's a project that's about to be killed. And they're like, if I leak it, maybe it'll be saved, you know. And who knows? A lot of reasons people do it.
Sure.
So, it's not going to be resurrected as far as we know. And you know, we've heard rumors about Andromeda, and some people are like, oh, is it just like the Surface Mini, but just updated? I'm like, I don't think it's going to be like that, but.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
You remember, you know, when Surface Mini would have happened, it would have been Microsoft just missing the mini tablet craze, right? Because for a little while there, mini tablets were a big thing. And in the PC world in particular, there was about an 18-month period where everyone, meaning PC makers, was coming up with different mini tablets. It was like the big thing, you know, for Windows 8, 8.1 or whatever. And Microsoft, you know, August of 2014, I guess it was, would have just missed that. You know, it was right on the, it had already ended, you know, and so I'm sure that was part of the decision-making process, but the market for those kinds of devices right now is very small. I mean, even Apple had to get into it belatedly and follow other companies into that market. And today they're rumored to be getting rid of their mini tablet because it just doesn't sell like it used to.
I just remember at the time being so shocked when they canceled it because I think it was Brad who found out, or somebody, like they had made thousands of them, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like they canceled it like the courier, you know, when it was still not really a product.
They told me explicitly, like they made this for us. The first batch was obviously some internal testing, but this was the thing they were going to bring
for you
to the reviewer's workshop and hand out to reviewers.
Oh, man, really?
You know what? I bet you would still, well, except for the RT thing, I bet you'd still use it. I like I still have a 7-inch Google tablet.
The Google, like a Nexus tablet.
The Nexus 7, I still have it.
Yeah, those were great. Actually, both of those were great. I use an iPad mini to read on, and I prefer it to the bigger iPads by a wide margin. But, you know, there are a lot of apps there, too. I mean, it's a different kind of ecosystem.
That's true. RT
and not
kind
just apps. Yeah, and the Amazon stuff on Windows has never been good. So that thing couldn't run the desktop client, and then the Windows Store client hasn't been updated, I don't think, in forever.
I think Apple's probably not going to continue the mini. So I'm wondering if people have decided. And Google, of course, killed the 7-inch Nexus. So I do wonder if that's maybe not a form factor people wanted. I don't know.
I know. But then it makes you wonder about all the rumors on Andromeda, right? Because we keep hearing like phablet or tablet that might have telephony. So I'm like, okay, so is this a mini tablet?
Right.
And are they going to find, like, could be a foldable tablet, because they've done some patents lately that have come to light about foldable tablets. So who knows what that thing is going to look like when it comes.
Who knows?
Who knows?
No one knows. Who knows? No one. Windows 10. Fall creators update, ladies and gentlemen, coming soon to a computer near you.
Sort of soon.
We at least have a date.
And
this is official,
maybe
right?
To a computer near you.
Oh, yeah. That's always. Yeah, how long did it take to get the spring update out to everybody?
Update.
Yeah. Leo, this just in.
Yes.
Rambling Geek tells us on Twitter that you can, in fact, hide those columns in OneNote on the web if you would like to do so.
Yes, tell me.
Click on the View menu.
Of course, the View menu.
Which you don't see.
Yeah, because I don't have a menu. Let's see. Maybe it's over here. No.
All right, never mind. This happened with
He's thinking of the app.
I'm wondering. No, that doesn't look like the app.
It
looks like the web interface.
I think there is a way to get rid of it, because I feel like it's been gone sometimes.
I think it might be because you're not using...
Because I'm using Linux? You think that's it?
Yeah, because, okay, when I go to OneNote on the web on Windows, there is a View menu.
Oh.
I have a View menu on mine.
You have a View menu.
Yeah.
I do.
That's all right. You know what? People hate it. They hate it when the show becomes about helping Leo.
You know what?
So
they should.
If you have the question, I bet other people have the question.
Well, it's all right. I'm sure. Oh, wait a minute. You know, I can shrink it. Like a shrinky dink. Whoop. That's better. That helps.
Yeah.
See, the problem is I have it zoomed in so I can read the thing.
Sure.
And then it makes it, because I'm blind.
That's interesting. So this is
it's a Chrome on on Debian on a Linux.
Yeah, I mean, let me see. If I run
Chrome. Doesn't matter, honestly.
Oh, it's just really curious. I mean, don't open. Sign in. Yeah, so Chrome on Windows, those menu items exist.
Well, this is Chromium.
No, I know, but it's the same browser.
It's
the
same. Chromium's is, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's curious. Well, thank you.
The thing that was the last straw was when Skype decided to send me a message.
Yeah, I got that today, too.
Yeah. You can now respond to your friends with new built-in message reactions. Yay!
I don't know on Linux, but you can actually turn off notifications in Skype.
This is a built-in certified Skype. Thank
you. It sure is. Goodbye.
Delete bot. You sure you want to delete Skype? Yep.
Well, that's just delete the bot.
Bye-bye.
I wanted the bot because it gave me the hedgehog that I sent to Paul today. So
I did enjoy the hedgehog.
You sent a hedgehog to Paul via the internet?
I did.
What does that mean?
It's a new emoticon for the fall on Skype.
What did you send me? You sent me something last week. It was like
an acorn.
How do you distinguish?
And I replied, I said, this is pretty good, but I would rather you had sent a hedgehog. And then this week she sent me a hedgehog.
How do you distinguish it from a gopher or a groundhog?
Are you kidding me, Leo? Hedgehogs are a God's perfect animal.
Oh, yeah, I like hedgehogs. They're illegal to own privately in California. I don't know why.
That's interesting.
Do they suddenly turn on you? Are they vicious?
No. They're kind animals. They must be like mice or other rodents that dig in the ground. I don't know.
Yeah, because Michael wants one. Our 14-year-old wants one. But
they're awesome.
Thank God he can't have one because it's illegal in the state of California. Private ownership of hedgehogs, strictly restricted.
Yeah, that thing might go outside and till your earth.
Might hog our hedges. So is October 17th. Now, you were kind of calming people down, Mary Jo, on your All About Microsoft column, saying that's not really late, but it is technically not fall. Or it is fall. Well, it is fall, but it's not fall, like...
But I think the point is it's about a month later than we would have maybe anticipated.
Okay. Because of the name. Because, we knew it was going to be called 1709.
Yeah.
They've done this the past two releases as well.
Yeah, 1703 wasn't really 03.
Right. Rolled out in April.
Yeah, it was 04.
Well, but they did finalize it in March, right? So I suppose if you think about the date, I think the problem here for me is that conceptually... I would have expected them to finalize this thing in September, and I still do, right? We can see the way the builds are going lately.
Yeah.
It looks like they're barreling toward that completion. You know, maybe there's going to be a bigger delta between the RTM, which we're not calling it that, and the GA, which we're also not calling it that, than there has been in the past.
I know.
Of course you are. Because that is what they're called.
I know.
You know, maybe they wanted more time. You know, maybe this is part of their efforts to, you know, help ensure these things go well.
Or they take the opportunity to use Microsoft Ignite as like, hello, we just RTM'd. They won't say that. They'll say it's done now, right? Even though it may not wait till the very end of the month to be designated as done. But I don't think there's going to be a huge delta. I think it'll get done towards the end of September and then blah.
You know, I don't know. Here's the page that the California Fish and Wildlife page has on why can't I have a hedgehog, sugar glider, ferret, or other restricted non-native species. And then they have the cutest picture of a hedgehog you ever saw, which only serves to make you want one.
I know.
Why would they do that?
Literally, the greatest moment of my life was the moment where I captured a hedgehog up in Rouen in France that had been eating the cat food every night. And I finally caught it. And I woke my children up so we could share this moment. And it was like this little wonderful creature with his little human hands and his spiky body parts. Awesome.
You can't have a Quaker monkey either. Or Quaker parakeet. You can't have one of them either.
Yeah. In Seattle, I know there's a rule about having dogs that have been crossbred with wolves.
Oh, wow.
Because that is a thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Well, I have no problem with not owning all of these things.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
They're wild animals, and they should
have cats, guys.
Have a cat.
There are a lot of cats.
There are
cats aren't too many cats. Destructive animals in any way. They don't go out into the world and just destroy entire ecosystems.
Daily, a cat or
because
cats
bring bored.
Something in to eat that they've eaten, half eaten daily.
Cats are like maybe unique in the animal world in that they just kill things because they can
for pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, you know, like they don't humans? They don't really have any need of the food. Yeah. They just want to kill something because they start move.
Yeah. Just like us.
Yeah.
Okay. It will give Paul time to update the book. Mary Jo is giving you some consolation.
Yeah. I think it's good. It's a good thing. You know what? Yeah. You weren't ready to have your book come out in September. You were in September now. So
Field Guide to the creators, Fall Creators Update. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I'm updating it for the Fall Creators Update.
Oh, good.
I meant to update it for the Creators Update. I got about halfway through and then we moved. Or we started the process of moving, and that kind of distracted me a bit. So I'm going to move along.
Yeah. No, you had other things to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More builds, no more features, though. So we are inching towards Gold Master.
Yep. And in fact, there was a insider build of Server yesterday, a new one, and it said in the blog post for that there will be no more insider builds for Server until we go to Redstone 4.
See, that's so not a good way, not a felicitous way to put it.
There will be
no more. We are done.
I hate to do this again, but I feel compelled to try.
What?
I'm now told by a couple of different people on Twitter that if you hit the Alt key on your keyboard while in this, the menu might appear.
No. That's a Windows thing, kids. Alt doesn't do anything in any other operating system.
It's weird. All right. I'll stop.
I don't want to get rid of those columns. I like them now.
Good.
Right. I've got Stockholm syndrome. I like my columns.
Good.
Okay.
All righty.
How about, since we got the fall creators update, will there be, oh heaven forfend, a spring creators update or a summer creators update, a winter creators update? What seasons can we expect?
Well, so hopefully they change the name scheme here for the next version, because I think we're all getting a little tired of this one. But yes, they've already started testing the next version of Windows, right, which we now are calling Redstone 4 and anticipate would come out in March or April, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. So if you're in the skip ahead ring, so that's different from the fast ring. You already got your first build of Windows 10 Redstone 4 last week. There were no new features, no new visible features yet in that. You know, it's like a lot of fixes still, probably some work under the covers. That ring, the skip ahead ring, also is where you're going to be testing inbox apps for creators update, fall creators update. So I don't think there were any as part of this particular update. But once creators update fall is done, then everybody who's in the fast ring is going to be moved to skip ahead. So then you'll also be able to test Redstone 4, even if currently you were cut out of that ring.
Now, because we have these two rings this time, it seems slightly superfluous to me that they're doing this. However, there is perhaps an opportunity for them to do something they haven't done in the past, which is give people a warning about the date that they're going to switch over to RS4, right? In the past, remember, there was kind of a magic window, I called it, where during that brief time period, you could switch off of Insider, go to the shipping version of Windows 10, the production release, what do they call it? Whatever the production version is called. And without any, you know, without having to reset or anything, right? So you had this little window of time. Now, we'll have this again with the conclusion of RS3, but maybe because now there is this other ring, they can say, okay, guys, here's the deal. On, you know, September, whatever, October, whatever, you know, we're switching you over. Maybe they could give us a heads up this time. Because it'd be kind of nice. You know, it's there are people, I think, who might want to just get off the train and... Well, it's still a train. It's like, I guess it's just a slower train or whatever. But, you know, switch off of the Insider previews and just get on the normal version of Windows 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Emily the Strange has a good idea. Eliminate these kind of Northern Hemisphere-centric seasonal names.
Yeah.
And go with pagan names.
Oh, yes.
So we could. It'll be the Ostara update.
That would be kind of cool.
The Samhain update.
Boy.
Here comes.
Samhain, that's good.
Yeah. Here comes the Microsoft Lugnasad update.
Also, each point on that pentagram looking thing needs a candle.
Yeah.
And
and Satan.
Hello, Satan.
Hello, Satan. So maybe that wouldn't go over so well.
Sure.
We were joking on Twitter right when,
oh,
when
wait
we
a
got
minute.
The date. We're,
this doesn't
Emoticon
solve it.
Update.
This doesn't solve it. It says pagans in the Southern Hemisphere move these dates up 6 months.
No.
You Southern Hemisphere. I'm sorry. What did the tweet say?
It said, we said, how about emoticon update?
Emoticon.
Yeah.
Update. Spring emoticon update.
Sure.
Well, they're a little behind. We have the new emoticons already.
I know. We do. We're just kidding, because it seems like in every set of build notes, it's like,
There's always an emoticon thing.
That's really, that's all that changes now.
Yeah.
That's
really
where it
My favorite was the little throw-up emoticon, where the little guy has like a little vomit coming out of his mouth.
Is the hedgehog an emoticon, or is it just a sticker or something?
Hedgehog's an emoticon.
It's animated,
right?
So it must be something like an animation or a sticker, a sprinkle of some kind. What do they call
it? Sprinkle. No.
Sprinkle.
No, you know what? They Jimmy's. Just what they really need to do, and they won't do this, is use the build numbers. It should be 1803 mm-hmm. next year.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
They won't. They won't because they want to have a catchy name for consumers, even though I think it makes it way more confusing. But they won't do it.
I don't. Yep. I couldn't agree more. Get rid of that.
You could use emoji names.
Those names, they all stink.
Well, they're very generic because the Unicode committee is just a bunch of guys in short sleeve white shirts.
February 2018. Do you want to be running something called the Fall Creators Update?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Silly.
Yeah, they shouldn't do seasons. But on the other hand, it is useful. Could they could just call it 1709?
It's fall, saying fall is useful for some of us, but other people are like, no, fall is meaningless for me. Right?
It's really it's America because they don't even call it fall in other parts of the world. So.
Well, it's the only part of Microsoft where they just pretend like the rest of the world doesn't matter, so it's okay.
It's all right. So this is Redstone 4. They could call it that.
I know. You know what? The code name's not that bad.
Redstone's a great code name.
Redstone 4, Redstone 5, Redstone 6.
It sounds like a rocket. It's so cool. And then what does this set mean? Story, I feel like either I had a stroke or I don't understand. Story remix coming soon to skip ahead Windows 10 insiders. That sounds like word salad to me. I don't.
Yes.
Story remix coming soon to skip ahead Windows 10 insiders. If I say it in different ways, will it become clear?
No. Let me explain.
Please.
So
please, Paul.
Back at Build, Microsoft announced an app they were supposedly bringing to the Fall Creators Update called Story Remix, and it was going to enable you to add augmented reality elements to your videos.
Just what I wanted.
That never happened. Mm-hmm. And what we subsequently have learned is that a lot of the stuff they announced at Build for Windows 10 is not happening in the Fall Creators Update. It's happening in some future update. So what's the guy's name? You know, Chris Pratley.
Yep.
He said on Twitter that it's not dead, and I don't think anyone thought it was dead, but it is, in fact, coming in the next release, in RS4, and will be available to people who are on this skip-ahead ring soon. In fact, as soon as maybe even this week. And so actually, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 months later, we're finally going to be able to start testing this thing that they were talking about back at Build. So it's coming, supposedly.
Well, that's clear as mud.
So I have a question for you, Paul. Is any part of that app in any of the builds, or have you seen any of it at all?
Yeah, well, have, sort of. Right? So yeah. Remember there was some confusion around the Photos app, right? And so the photo, in fact, I should just bring it up and see what it is exactly, because the Photos app has a, let me just make sure it does, or does it? I don't know. Briefly, but now it's back. It's just going to be Photos. Because a lot of people complained about that. So actually, I don't even see it in here. This is amazing. But they added a remix feature to the Photos app, which allowed you to collect photos and short videos into like a slideshow type thing, like a little video. And like the remix feature that was in another Chris Pratley product, Microsoft Sway, what this would do is take those elements and rearrange them in a different order. And you could look at it again and say, okay, yes, this is the one I want to use. And so when this was happening, there was some confusion. Like, well, hold on a second. You were talking about this thing called Story Remix. You've added a feature called Remix to Photos. The thing you're creating could arguably be called a story. Do you mean for this to be that thing? Mm-hmm. And Microsoft was a little bit contradictory about that. I mean, for a time they were saying yes, and then people came back and said, but you said this was a totally different app. And it's like, well, you know, and then they actually went to the point they were going to rename Photos to Story Remix. It's like, guys, what are you doing?
That would have been a disaster.
Yeah. So, and that's when I started joking on Twitter, like, well, now if you're going to rename apps like that, why don't we just call Edge Microsoft Chrome Installer? And we could call, you know, the Mail app Microsoft Conversation View. Like, we're going to start renaming things after features? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, if I understand the tweet correctly, if this is correct, there's going to be a separate app in Windows someday called Story Remix that will do those things like combine photos and videos and add special effects and transitions and things. But the big deal is going to be that augmented reality stuff. Remember in the demo they did, the girl kicked a soccer ball into a net and there was like fire coming off of it like it was a comet or something. Supposedly that will be available. Although, I got to say, I'm looking at this thing now and I don't see any hint of Remix anywhere in here, so I don't know.
Oh, really? Weird. Okay.
Yeah, it is weird. Unbelievable. I don't know what's going on. It's confusing.
Yeah.
So you're a skip ahead-er.
I know. So the flaming soccer ball part is what's going to not make it into the Fall Creators update.
Is that an emoji?
No, it's an augmented reality item,
Elements?
Right? So I guess there's going to be some change. You know, in Windows 10 today and in the Fall Creators update, they have these 3D apps, right? So if you look at, Paint 3D, obviously, Print 3D, View 3D. And I guess and then there's an associated website, which I think might be called Remix 3D, but whatever it's called. These things all kind of work hand in hand, and they allow you to create these three-dimensional elements on a two-dimensional system. But they also work in HoloLens, and if you have a Windows Mixed Reality headset, they'll work in kind of a 3D mode. But that, you know, arguably is kind of a virtual reality or augmented reality. And I guess they're going to start renaming some of these things to use the mixed reality branding. And in the next release, this will be part of that. And which, by the way, makes me think they might keep with the creators thing, because
I know, me too.
Kind of makes sense, right? Like, you know, because they're not done adding these creator features.
Yeah.
So you could, theoretically, I mean, again, this is just a Microsoft demo at this point, but, you know, they did a video where the girl was running down the field and they superimposed the Tyrannosaurus Rex on the field. So it looked like she was getting chased. The girl kicked the soccer ball. They added like a flame effect. We'll see.
Is this really meant to replace Movie Maker? Is that the idea of this thing or not? It's not really the same.
It's not the same. And as Movie Maker evolved into less and less of a kind of an iMovie kind of competitor, you could make the case at each step that Microsoft was simplifying it and making it easier for normal people to use, which I do buy. The functionality, as we saw it this summer in the Photos app, where you're just basically making slideshows that can evolve videos or photos, is not the same thing. Although, again, you could argue, well, maybe that's what most people were doing and it may be enough for a lot of normal people. I think that's fair. The augmented reality bit of it, though, is something I don't expect any normal person to do. I think that's going to be complex.
I know. When I was watching, I remember watching that demo going, I will never do this.
No, like, there's no way.
No.
I mean, I'll make videos of Tyrannosaurus going after Brad. And what's that?
I find PowerPoint hard to use. And that's
PowerPoint's
in fact
another
why
thing that's
Sway.
Getting 3D, by the way.
but now you can put a dilapidated ice cream truck in your presentation. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, think about, actually, Sway's a good example, though, because Sway is another way to do something that people would have obviously might have used PowerPoint for, but also might have used a video editing app where you had a bunch of photos and all you were trying to do is, you know, tie them together with transitions and then send them to someone and they could view your photos from your vacation or whatever, right? So now in the case of Sway, you could put that up on the web. Anyone can see it. It's nice and easy. So you've got kind of a publishing platform built into it. And I think it's reasonable to expect that those 3D objects that Leo was looking at on Remix 3D will probably end up in Sway too, right? That you could, you go on a trip to Ireland or something and you put little goofy cartoon guys in the foreground of some picture. You can kind of picture it. I mean, I don't want to do that myself, but I, you know, they're going to add it to everything. You know they are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, you already can, in one of the test builds of Office 365, you can look at and rotate 3D objects in PowerPoint, right? And
yep.
It's another one of those. I'm like, would I ever use it? No. I know people will.
Yes. And will it be like when we first got different fonts in page publishing programs in the 1980s? And it was like you were always making hostage videos or hostage notes or whatever, you know, where it's a little gratuitous and overdone just because all of a sudden we have this new capability. You know, maybe. I don't know. I always appreciate it when someone shows up with a presentation and it's like black text on white. You know, like, sorry, I didn't spend, 35 hours working on the color scheme. I thought I'd just work on the content, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. That's good.
Office.
Yep.
365.
So Microsoft has been talking for a while about making the desktop apps of Office available through the Windows Store. And if you're somebody who's been using Windows 10S, you've already been able to use these in preview form. Now Microsoft is expanding that pilot program so that people who are not just using Windows 10S, but other versions of Windows are going to be able to start testing these apps in the Windows Store. Microsoft didn't announce this yet, but a couple of insiders sent me notes that they got from Microsoft saying, hey, do you want to be part of this pilot program? And what these apps are Centennial Bridge versions of the Office apps. So Microsoft used its own desktop bridge to take its Win32 Office apps and port them so that they're going to work and be available in the Windows Store. They are not identical to the Win32 versions of the apps, but they're pretty close. There's very few smaller features that are not there, but from the vast majority of people, this will be fine, I think. So you're going to get versions of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint to start. Over time, they're going to have Access and Publisher also in the store. OneNote, they're just going to keep the way it is, and Sway also, I believe, which are the UWP mobile versions of those two products. Those are already in the store, and they're not going to do Centennial versions of those because they don't need to.
Do
you think they do?
They're not going to, but yeah. I mean, you could make an argument that they, But you're right, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, OneNote for me, I'm like, and I'm not, I am like the last person to ever claim to be a power OneNote user. I don't use it very often, but I feel like even the web version is enough for me. I can't say that'll be true for everyone because I know some people do amazing detailed OneNote notebooks, and I'm sure there are features in the full desktop version of OneNote that they will miss in the mobile version. But I guess they're going for the least common denominator and saying most people won't need that. So there you are. All of this is supposed to be in pilot for everyone, I believe, by this fall. So I'm betting this is another Ignite announcement that they're going to make.
But so I thought I had Office with Windows 10S. So I'm confused.
You do.
But it's not the same. It's not the Centennial.
It is.
Oh, it is.
It is. So far, up till now, only 10S people could test this.
I see.
But now other versions of Office are starting to test it.
I can take a minute.
I mean, Paul's having a conversation with the electrician.
I apologize. I have to I have to sign off. And I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll ping Mary Jo when I get back.
We'll continue with the Office. I'll see. When you sit down, I'll know you're there. We'll continue with the Office 365 stuff.
Okay. So Richard Hay is listening right now. And he said when he tried installing Office 365 from the Windows Store, he got everything already. So he's saying he got Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Access, Outlook, and Publisher already are there.
Okay.
So if you're in this limited pilot program, I guess you can get everything that I just listed now. And if you are not in the program and you want to be later this fall, I'm thinking they're going to open it up to everybody who is an Office 365 user.
Now, how do I get this deal on Outlook?
Right. Do you want it? I mean,
no. I'm just I'm channeling somebody.
Oh.
I don't know who.
Yeah, Paul. So should I even try to talk about Paul's story here?
I could just read the headline. That's probably all anybody needs. Microsoft is secretly offering some Office 365 users a deal on Outlook Premium, which is that an ad-free version of Outlook?
Yeah, so the Outlook.com premium service is ad-free, and you get up to 5 custom domains. And Microsoft's been doing that as a separate program. I think did you subscribe to that, Leo? I can't remember.
No, I don't really use Outlook.com.
You don't use it. I didn't subscribe to it either.
It's $50 a year normally, and I guess some people are getting a special offer of $20.
Yeah, for like $20, right?
Yeah. Nice.
So I think Paul's point in his piece that he wrote about this was, why isn't Office 365 a superset for Outlook.com premium? In other words, why doesn't everybody who's an Office 365 home, personal, and other kind of subscriber get something like Outlook.com premium?
Here's Microsoft's explanation. We continually explore ways to improve our product offerings. As part of this, we're running a promotion over the next few weeks designed to help us identify which premium email features to include in Office 365 consumer subscriptions. As part of this promotion, Outlook.com users in English-speaking markets who click the Upgrade to Premium button in the bottom left corner, their Outlook.com inboxes are directed to a special version of the webpage highlighted in your article. That's the one that gives you it for $20. People who purchase Office 365 through that process will indeed get the benefits mentioned we don't have anything to announce today. Okay. So there's
in other words,
Microsoft's response.
Yeah,
it's a
it could
test.
Be.
This is a test. This is only
it's a test.
Test
to see how it goes, right?
Yep. If this were an actual deal, you would be instructed to follow instructions. So we took care of the Office 365 stuff. I figured you wouldn't mind, Paul, including the Outlook premium deal.
Yep.
But now that we're on the speaker section, I think we need your help.
Okay. I'm here for you, Leo.
Thank you. Last week we talked about Bezos saying that Cortana would be appearing in Echo and vice versa.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Harman Kardon speaker.
Yeah. So as it turns out, Harman Kardon, which is, by the way, part of the Samsung galaxy of companies.
They acquired them last year. Yeah.
Yep. Is going to make smart speakers based on and on Google Assistant as well.
Oh.
So they're not Cortana exclusive.
They're going to do everybody except Siri.
Yeah, and actually except Bixby, although one
Bixby
might expect that to
change. Bixby is not a standalone. Bixby's designed to work with a Samsung phone. Most of Bixby's skills come in interacting with the apps on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I don't think you'll ever see Bixby as a standalone. Samsung, though, that doesn't mean Samsung won't be a player in this because they bought the guys, the guys who did Siri started a company called, I think it was Viv.
That sounds right.
And Viv.ai, and Samsung bought that. And and they've always had S Voice. So I'm not sure Samsung's out of this game, especially since they own Harman.
Well, I think having mobile is a big chunk of it. So actually, they're probably in pretty good shape. People use their smartphones around the house, et cetera, et cetera. So we shall see. But I thought that was kind of interesting. And so, you know, there was a lot of question about, hey, how come Harman Kardon wasn't talking up or Microsoft wasn't talking up Cortana at the show? Although they might have had one speaker on the show floor or something. Yeah. Well, they did make announcements at the show. They just didn't make them about Cortana. So, great.
So, do you think Harman Kardon's been canceled? I don't think so. Do you?
No, I don't think so. In fact,
for the one with Cortana. I mean,
right? And no, because I wasn't at the show, obviously, but someone who was said that it was on the show floor. So they're still showing it.
Okay.
So so you're not saying that this one is. That there will be a Cortana exclusive device.
That's right.
And then there'll be other devices that use other assistants.
Although it kind of begs the question, you know, why not just have the same device and
do all
switch between them or, I actually think that'd be kind of cool. Oh. But anyway, it's a good looking speaker. You know, the Invoke, which is the Cortana speaker, is a good looking speaker. The issue isn't so much the looks of the thing. The issue is that there are so many of these things happening. And frankly, they're all being based around the Google Assistant. And, you know, one of the other notes I have is there was a Sony announcement about a smart speaker. Of course, it's a Sony product, so it has a terrible name. But it looks a lot like the Apple device that's coming out in December. It's coming out a month or two earlier. It looks like it has the same awesome positional audio capabilities, multi-speaker capabilities, directional microphones, and yada, yada, yada. And it's less expensive. And, of course, it runs on the Google Assistant. You know, this is heating up all of a sudden. You could have made the case even just a few months ago, like with Google. You know, we can complain about Microsoft because that's what we do. But on the Google side, you know, where are all the Google-powered smart speakers? Well, guess what? They just announced, I think, 7 or 8 of them at the show. So that stuff is happening. And if you have a house full of Google equipment, which isn't that expensive, frankly, because Chromecast audio and video, there's a Chromecast Ultra that does 4K video. There's a Google Assistant Google Home that does Google Assistant. And then soon there'll be 6 or 8 or whatever it is, third-party devices as well. And these things all integrate together. You can do whole house audio with them. You can do all kinds of things. And so this is all kind of happening. And over at Microsoft, you know, do we have the Benny Hill theme song we could play? It's like you're waiting for this thing to, you know, churn up at any time. Like, guys, seriously, like how much time do you think you have here?
Yeah.
And I actually think it's going to come – I don't know if Google's going to be – I mean, they ought to be a player in this, but it feels like Amazon owns the maybe it's just for me. I have a Google Home and I never use it. I use the Echo all the time, partly because Echo has a broader choice of music. It has my books, which is a big one because Amazon owns Audible, and I can shop with it. Google's good for asking questions, but I don't.
Right. Here's the thing that's interesting to me about these devices, at least right now, and actually, if anything, this Microsoft deal with Amazon makes this even truer, which is that unlike with smartphone platforms, unlike with PC platforms before them, these things aren't necessarily all that sticky, right? If you have like smart controls around your house or smart speakers or whatever, unless you go the Apple route, the chances are actually pretty good that you could switch back and forth between different devices. Actually, that would be true of Apple too. So in other words, I have like Philips Hue lights in my house somewhere. So I can control them with HomeKit on the Apple devices. I can control them through obviously the Philips apps on my phone. I can control them through Google Home, through Amazon. You know, these things like work with everything. And so it's almost like maybe the central thing that I think Bezos and Satya Nadella got right is that for the user, it's not necessarily about that one assistant. It's about the capabilities. And if they can all do that stuff, you know, you mentioned audiobooks and music and whatever else it is that people might want to do. If that stuff works everywhere, it makes it easier to switch back and forth if you have to or want to. It makes it easier to mix and match if you just want to. I already have an Amazon Echo somewhere in my house maybe. Next time I'm going to buy the Sony thing that runs on the Google Assistant. And when Apple's thing comes out, maybe I put one of those up in the bedroom. And it kind of doesn't matter because they can be where they are and do what they do. And there's a lot of overlap. You know, capability-wise. Yeah,
that's what Bezos maybe. Said, right? Bezos
I think said, so. Yeah, I think all. That's... Yeah.
I think that, frankly, the other shoe that's going to drop is going to be Apple's HomePod. I think everybody's going to wait and see what Apple does with that. And if that's... Well, if that's got a lot of great... I mean, it'll only work with Apple Music for one. I mean, there's it's going to be...
Jeez, I hope that's not true forever.
Of course it's true.
Oh, yeah,
of course that's true.
Obviously,
why would
it's
it work
only
with anything else?
They have a the iPhone works with Spotify. I mean, it sort of behooves them to at some point open that up to third parties because in some ways the broader Apple ecosystem for them, which is really the hardware, is the most important thing. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. I guess the central point here is that however they decide to do it, they really do have a very healthy built-in market of people who are very eager to buy their stuff. So that thing will never win, you know, this battle, but it doesn't have to. It just has to get the Apple part of it, and it will get a big chunk of that.
I think Echo is the one to beat. Hey, we'll see.
Echo is definitely the one to beat today, but I actually think long term the Google one is going to be the one to beat.
Yeah, I mean they certainly have
their natural built-in.
Well, they have all the advantages with machine learning and artificial intelligence. It's just Echo's got all those skills. Echo seems at this point to be more open. Ultimately, the more open platform, what will that win, or will it be the one that's easy to use? Or?
What do people want to use it for, right? Yeah. Like, how many people care about asking questions, generic questions?
I don't think that's as important.
Yeah,
I think it's,
all
right. You do it once.
Tell me a joke. If you care about that, Google. Right.
Right. Well, but it's not just that. I mean, it's broad compatibility with stuff out in the world, which is what Leo's talking about. So those skills are very important. Yeah. And right now, Hell has a huge lead there. But, you know, it does depend on what you want to do. You know, like the Philips Hue thing is just one example. But if you want to do that, frankly, you could do any of them. You could do all of them. You could do none of them. You could just use the mobile apps that Philips supplies. You could use third-party mobile apps. There's a huge ecosystem going on there. It just depends. You know, except Cortana, that's the one you can't use, by the way.
I know.
I'm sure they'll.
I feel like she needs more kind of differentiators, right? Like we said,
she needs an assisted living community, Mary Jo.
Yes. And the integration with Office is good, but what else can she do? What are other party tricks, right?
Yep.
So Echo doesn't do Apple Music. It doesn't do Google Music, but it does do Spotify, Pandora, of course, Amazon's own product, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Okay. I would assume that Spotify probably has the broadest.
Yeah, if you do Spotify, you're probably good. It'll be interesting to see if Apple does Spotify.
I bet they would over time, but you know how
Apple
is, right?
They have a competing product, though. Well, I guess Amazon does, too, but it's not as important.
But there must be... You got to look at your user base, right? I mean, whatever the size is of Apple's base, there's some huge chunk of them using Spotify. And I know you want to get them as Apple onto Apple Music, but I went to my kids because I was trying to find a music service that worked everywhere that would make sense. And so I just said, look, they're already on Spotify. And the reason I didn't want to go to Spotify personally, the reason I wasn't on it is because Spotify doesn't have an elegant way for me to get my own music into the service.
Right.
Every other service does this.
Right.
They have an inelegant way to do it. So I said, guys, you know, our music's already all in Apple. I mean, would you consider going to Apple Music? I'm thinking they're teenagers. They'd be all over this. And we talked about how cats can be disdainful. the response that I got from my children suggested that I was basically asking them to adopt like an RCA product.
I got the same response. My kids use Spotify, and I said, look, I'll pay for a family plan for Apple Music. Weren't interested. We're not interested.
Zero interest.
So on the other hand, wow, that's it. So that's going to be an interesting, that'll be fun to watch, because I do think Apple is arrogant enough to say, no, this is an Apple Music product. That's all we're going to support.
But I think it's going to be temporary. In other words, you could make an argument as Apple, like, this is V1. It's focused on music. It's meant to be tied to the service. The other stuff that it does as a Siri device is secondary. But it's going to be like the App Store on the iPhone. I think over time they have to, you know, they can't go this alone. You know, as far as digital assistants go, Apple is the one that needs the most help, because they just don't have, you know, the not the wherewithal, but the desire to break people's privacy enough to make this thing worthwhile. They just don't want to do it. And so they're going to have to open it up. I just don't see any other way for that to be. Otherwise, it's just going to be the girl standing in front of the window when it's pouring outside. She says, Siri, is it raining? I mean, that's going to be the level of dumbness that this thing will have. Yeah. You know, they have to, they're going to have to enhance it somehow.
See, with Amazon, you can upload your music. So you have your music on Amazon, and then I can still use Spotify and Pandora.
I looked at Amazon, you know, but see, the funny thing about Amazon, I thought you must be able to get unlimited music through Amazon if you have a Prime subscription. As it turns out,
to buy that,
Amazon Music Unlimited is a separate service. Yep.
However, so, you can have it on one. It's cheap if you just have it on one Echo.
I can't do this. I went through all this. What I did was I sucked it up and I just went to Spotify, because what I can do on Spotify is put my music on one device and then it will sync to my other devices as long as that one device is on. Yeah. And screw it. That's it's not great, but it's better than paying for two services, you know?
This is literally how I spent a battlefield. This is like Game of Thrones, and you've got Daenerys Targaryen as Siri, you've got Jon Snow as Amazon, you've got Tyrion Lannister is Cortana. I'm so sorry. I deserve to.
I think the Game of Thrones thing is apt.
We've been building it, and it's exactly what's going to happen.
There will be alliances, right? Some of those alliances will be tenuous.
There's going to be a battle.
Some of them will be pretend.
It's going to be a big battle.
Yeah.
They're going to be dragons, are they?
Mm-hmm. So who's the one with dragons? I think it's Jeff Bezos.
I think so too.
Because it was a surprise to everybody. Like, where did this thing come from?
Right.
Now we have this other person we have to deal with. Like, in that world, they knew who all their enemies were, and then suddenly this person comes from across the ocean, and they're confused by it.
I think Google is Cersei Lannister. Is the Lannisters is Google? They always pay their debts.
Wow.
And I think
I'm thinking more of Microsoft because all of the children are dead.
Somebody's going to do a whole thing here.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
And hopefully it involves Jeff Bezos dressed up as Cersei Lannister or something. Daenerys Targaryen.
Somebody says Cortana's more a Theon Greyjoy type. Yeah, that's sad. You're really giving him the...
Just color. That's just... Hey, Reek. What's the weather?
Reek.
And it just kind of
Greyjoy says, what are you guys talking about?
I'm like, Game of Thrones.
What is that?
The Xbox stuff was bad, but now you'll be begging for Xbox.
Yep. We're going to
make you.
Oh.
No.
And Steve Jobs is the Night King.
Oh, yikes.
Whoa. Winter is coming. So does that mean who are the wildlings? The whites are clearly Siri. I don't know. It's challenging. It's challenging.
It's not a perfect comparison.
No, it isn't. Well, could be. Just have to spend more time thinking about it. In any event, what's clear is that there's a big war on the horizon between all of these companies. And you're right. There'll be alliances that'll, you know, stumble. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. It's really fascinating. But what, you know, I love it because you're seeing the great chess masters of our time doing this. I mean,
by the way, you know, it's funny not to keep dragging this Game of Thrones thing to its obvious conclusion. But we talked last week, I think, about Amazon and Microsoft teaming up for digital assistants, and why would you do that if you were coming from a position of strength? There's almost no reason to do that. And so you only make that kind of an alliance when you need to. Right. When you have to look at both companies and say, okay, well, why? What does Amazon get out of this? And, you know, what does Microsoft get out of this? And what are their respective positions where they would need to do this in the first place? You have to think Google and Apple short term, I think Apple long term, they have to change this, but are going to try to go it alone because that's, you know, their natural way of doing things.
Yeah.
We'll see.
This is interesting. A signature PC program style program for Android phones. This is from Google?
Yeah, so I think it was 3 years ago, back when Microsoft decided that their plan for Lumia was to spam the entire planet with low-cost phones that were all exactly the same but had different model numbers. Google came up with the same idea, basically, except they were doing it through third parties. And so they called their system Android One. And the idea was that we're going to get Android into emerging markets on low-cost devices that would be compromised in some ways from performance, obviously. Low RAM, low storage, slow processors, that kind of stuff. Microsoft's efforts, of course, are legendary. Those guys succeeded beyond anyone's wildest dreams, and everything's great over there at Redmond. But on the Google side, they also failed. And the difference is that it didn't matter because Android is the most dominant mobile platform on Earth. And so that world has kind of moved along. But the thing that's changed in the interim over the past 3 years is that all of a sudden you can get devices that can run Android or any mobile system at very low prices now. And so to get modern, you know, screens and processors, lots of RAM and storage, those things are actually not expensive anymore. So we have these $1,000 devices now, but the truth is for $200 to $400 or whatever, you can actually get a really capable device in a place like the United States or Western Europe. And for less than that, in emerging markets, you can get a really capable device now too. So what Google has done is they've changed Android One a couple of times, but this week they basically announced that they're changing it again. And the difference this time is they're making it pure Android. So the idea is to get certified for Google One, you just have to sell a device that is pure Android on it. And the first one was at the Mi, I think it's called the A1, which is an iPhone knockoff, but it's a beautiful looking device. It's going to cost less than $235 in various emerging markets. And it's a gorgeous, you know, it's a mid-level phone by our standards, like Snapdragon 625 type processor, I think. But it's going to be one of these new Android One devices. And, of course, there are tons of companies making these things. And so this is a way for Google to do for phones now that Microsoft did for PCs with Signature. Put out a pure version of Android. Guarantee that they're going to get two major updates of the operating system. So in case of that Mi device, it's going to get 8.0 and then it's going to get 9.0 after that. And give you kind of an understanding of how things are going to go. In the future, whereas today, you know, when you buy depending on the phone, but a lot of times when you buy an Android phone, you have no idea if you're ever going to get a major upgrade. And probably many phones don't. So they've kind of recast the system into something that I actually think is really cool.
They're not going to go back and add the Nexus phones to this, right?
There are no Nexus phones anymore. They're
gone. I still have mine.
They're Pixels.
So the Nexus phones were sold by Google, were made by third parties, but they are effectively the same thing because they are pure Google experiences.
Yeah.
And I believe that they...
Those were cheaper, but I think the Android One is about being less expensive, right?
Yes, but it's, in other words, it's not a $99 feature phone, right? But it might be like a $175 fully capable smartphone, expandable storage, decent specs.
Importantly, they can keep up to date because that's the big issue right now.
And get all the features. So one of the problems with Android One, one of the problems with any low-end smartphone is that you don't get all of the capabilities of the OS because the hardware is compromised. But the thing that's changed is that's not really the case anymore. So they're not going to have like 17 different ways to sign in like you get on a Samsung, but they're going to, you know, they won't have facial. They'll have a fingerprint reader though. You know, so you'll be able to do a PIN or a password or, you know, whatever the pattern, but they'll be able to use a fingerprint reader, you know. So this stuff has really evolved. And so Android One is not the bargain basement anymore. Yeah, it's actually really good. A phone anyone could use.
It's Google. I mean, Google has a more urgent need than Microsoft. I mean, does Microsoft do signature PCs anymore?
So this is the question. So the guys, I used to know the guys that ran the signature PC part of Microsoft, and they were all laid off. And so there are people there today. They still sell signature PCs. The two biggest changes that have happened, I would say, over the past year, let's say a year, is that we're starting to see finally some PC makers sell signature PCs directly. Lenovo does this. So if you buy a ThinkPad today, those are signature PC images, meaning they meet Microsoft standards, even though they're selling
them
themselves.
They don't brand them that way, do they?
I'm sorry. Yeah, they do.
Oh, it says signature PC. Oh.
Yeah, you actually are getting a signature PC image. Now, on the flip side, they've actually also relaxed the requirements for signature PC. And so in Lenovo's case, they're actually not bundling third-party AV software, which continues to be the kind of, I think, the Achilles heel of the PC industry, if you will. But actually, as it turns out, I was told you can still qualify for signature PC and put McAfee on there if you want to. Like, they'll actually allow that now. So it's not as stringent as it used to be.
Yeah, I'm thinking my Lenovo's did not come with anything on them. They didn't have a sticker or anything.
I think you have a Yoga, right?
I have a Yoga, second generation Yoga, and a T470S, both of which are pretty pure Windows.
Lenovo, among PC makers, I would say, has done the best job of software bundling in the sense that they only have a couple of utilities. They're all vital. They're like modern looking. They don't have all these startup processes going on.
So
like they've
them.
Done a really nice job.
Yeah.
You know, HP, which is a great company, has reverted a little bit, I would say. I mean, they almost have too much stuff going on PCs these days. The machines are beautiful. But Lenovo's done a neat job. And I think today they're kind of the standard. And I find it very interesting that they are actually selling their PCs themselves from their website. You can look it up as signature PC. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Mary Jo's fallen over, so I'll wait.
the cat was biting my leg.
he wants your attention.
You've been on there long enough.
He says, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Pay attention. Ouch. Pay attention to me. I'll tell you what. You can play with the cat while we take a break, and then we'll come back with the back of the book, Mary Jo Foley.
Let's hear a kicking sound.
I know.
We're Paul Thurrott, Leo Laporte, and we are talking... We are talking Windows, our back of the book, picks and tips and beer coming up in a second. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, the mortgage experience Quicken Loans realized. And by the way, as one of the biggest lenders in the country, I think it was last I saw $92 billion in loans, they would know better than many, than most. The mortgage experience just wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution, and they created Quicken Loans, created Rocket Mortgage as a result, and it is awesome. It gives you the confidence you need when buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. But, you know, so that's one thing. You got to trust the lender. Quicken Loans is the best in the country. But you also have to trust the process, understand what's going on, and they make it so easy. You could do it. You don't need to go to a bank. You don't need to go to the attic to go look for papers, you know, bank statements and things. You don't need to do anything but just go to your phone and go to rocketmortgage.com/windows or your tablet or your PC, rocketmortgage.com/windows. And everything you need to do can be there, can be done there without getting up. All the information they need, because it's all computerized and they have trusted partners that will let you share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage just by touching a button. And then based on your income, assets, and credits, they're going to crunch the numbers and literally in minutes tell you which loans you qualify for. You're approved. It's amazing. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I know you're probably not buying a house right at this moment. Actually, if you are, go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Otherwise, go there and bookmark it or get a little head start on it. If you're actually house hunting, it's really good to be pre-approved for a loan. It makes it so much easier to make an offer on a house. Go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Quicken Loans has created something just for us geeks. Rocket Mortgage. And let them know you saw it on Windows Weekly or you heard about it on Windows Weekly by going to rocketmortgage.com/windows. Thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and Sirachi the Cat. Our newest cast member.
Yes. Yep.
Let's start with you, Paul, and your tip of the week.
I have a few tips this week. You may recall a couple of weekends ago, I tried to install Windows 10S on my Intel NUC, which is kind of the purest PC you can get in a way, right? It's all Intel components, thinking... Obviously, Windows Update will have all of the drivers for this thing. And I was really surprised to discover that it didn't, and that there were a bunch of drivers that were unfound in Device Manager, and I kind of limped off in defeat. And over the next week or so, this bugged me so much, I kind of went back and revisited this because I thought to myself, this has to work. It's an Intel device. So I came up with two ideas in the back of my head, things that would work. One was that driver packages that Intel supplies, in many cases are EXEs, in some cases are ZIPs, and I could extract that stuff and maybe get the drivers out of them and then apply them manually in Device Manager. And actually that worked. I got every single driver installed on the system except for the Bluetooth driver, which I didn't care about. And I consider that a minor success, except it's a really tedious process and it's not something I want to do over and over again. Then I thought, well, okay, but what about the other idea I had, which was the way Microsoft allows you to install Windows 10S today is you take a fully working computer and you run a utility, your computer reboots and you're back in Windows, but now you're in Windows 10S. It's not an ISO file. So I thought, well, okay, this is like a different kind of installer. So what if the machine was up and running and all the drivers were installed and everything was up to date and then I converted it to Windows 10S? Would it keep all that stuff? And the answer is yes.
Ah.
And so that actually works. That should work. I haven't tested on every PC on Earth, obviously, but basically on any computer that can run Windows 10S and 10 Pro, sorry, and you have the full list of drivers and everything's up to date and everything, you should at that point be able to convert it and it should work if you want to run Windows 10S. Which I wanted to do because I'm working on the book and I want to make sure everything works in Windows 10S. And that worked really, really well. So that's actually a smart way to do it. It's not tedious. It's pretty quick, actually. So if you do want to test Windows 10S on a real computer, you can do that. I just would warn you to make sure you have a way to go back. So that's on you, but you can go to Windows 10S if you want to.
Now, if I just out of curiosity this thing, if I said, let's go back to Windows 10S, Can I go back to Windows 10
Pro? Yeah. So here's the interesting thing about it.
Without paying $50 in 6 months or a year?
Oh yeah, totally. So okay.
I have
And by the way, not just your Surface laptop, but any computer can. So
okay.
Remember that the license for Windows is kind of tied to the hardware, right? So if you are activated on Windows, it has to be Windows 10 Pro, I should say. If you have a Windows 10 Home PC, that's not going to work.
Oh.
It doesn't mean that it won't work. It just means that it won't activate. You have to have Windows 10 Pro to start, or Enterprise. Most people would have Pro. So if you start from Pro and go to S, no problem. If you want to go back later, you can download the ISO from Microsoft, make bootable media, or just run it from the ISO. It doesn't matter. Clean install Windows 10 Pro. Not only will it work, but you'll activate it. We'll be fine. Okay. You're not going to lose it.
You have the entitlement.
No problem. If you for a Surface laptop specifically, however, you have recovery media you can download from Microsoft. Right. So that's an even better way to do it. And you can go back
now,
to Pro that way.
If I install Windows 10S, does it just delete my Chrome? Hey.
So that's, you know what? It's interesting. So, yeah.
That cat is really noisy, Mary Jo.
Just tell him to put the hammer down. So I haven't tested this, actually. And frankly, because I'm working on for the book, and I'm going to do this on a different computer. I haven't done it yet. If you, in other words, you bring up a computer, you put Chrome on it, and then you convert it to Windows 10S.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chrome's not going to work. The question is, will Chrome still be on the computer, or does it wipe out those apps? I actually don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
Let it run, I would guess.
If you think about the way that PC Reset works, they have different options for when you install Windows, and you can do things like clean install Windows but leave my data files and my settings intact and my modern apps or whatever they're calling them, store apps. I'm not sure. It could go either way. I actually don't want to say because I really don't know the answer.
Let's try it right now.
Okay.
So I just go to get Windows 10S, but...
Well, no. You can't do it now. Wait.
Okay. It does involve power tools. I'm just warning people.
Are you running Windows 10 Pro on there now?
Oh, that's a good question.
It sounds like my old apartment construction.
Leo, could you speak up a little bit?
See. Okay. Windows 10 Pro. Yeah. So when I... So this
are
is
you
the
sure
Surface,
you want to do this?
This is the Surface laptop. Came
but
with
here's
10S.
The problem. If you do this,
I took the free upgrade. I'm now 10 Pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you do this,
yes,
you could probably get this completed by the end of the show. I just want to warn you.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can go back without having to reinstall all your apps.
Oh, you'd
stuff.
Have
you
to,
could go back to Pro. I just don't want you to get stuck on a one-way street. That's
so.
All.
Where you would, do I get you the would 10S be able to go ISO? Can I do?
There's no ISO. It's an installer. So what you would have to do is go to. Actually, go to my article. I'll
do it from the article. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it looks like I'm buying it right now, which is
No. You can do it from the web. There's a web page that has an installer that you run, and it's an EXE.
All right, let me just try it because what could possibly go wrong?
Following in the grand tradition of Windows Weekly,
well, Leo is now going to install Windows. I'll be honest.
No, it's fine. I'm actually curious. So you have on that computer Chrome and some other desktop apps. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, actually, I'm curious because this is something I do intend to.
And I'm wondering if I have Office on here. I'm wondering if it's the full Office or if it's the store Office. I think it's the full Office.
No, you would have the full Office.
Yeah. Because I didn't. I don't. Well, I don't know.
Oh, wait a minute, though. Actually.
Wait a minute.
You could have conceivably, depending on when you install it, gotten the store Office.
How would I find
out? I bet you have the. I bet it's not the store Office.
How can I tell? Microsoft Office was included with your purchase. It looks like you haven't claimed it yet because I have a subscription. Mm. What will it do? Extend my subscription?
Yeah, you should do that, by the way.
I speak English, Portuguese, Spanish. Paul, sorry, what did you have for lunch? Okay. All right. So add this key to an account. I need to add it to account following the steps below. Redeem online. I don't know. That's too. How did I get in this side rabbit hole? Let me go back to therat.com. That's what I really wanted to do. All right. I should probably just take it from the notes because there's a direct link in the show notes. That would be the easiest. All right. You continue on with your merry little way, and right. I will see if I can get this Windows 10S installed.
Okay. I have a couple of bonus tips. Xbox One S is on sale again. This time, most models are $50 off. I think some of them might be $30 off. But in any case, regardless of which one you get, you actually get a free game of your choice when you buy one today. So if you don't have an Xbox One S, you know you don't want to go to the X this year. This is probably the best sale we're going to see before the holidays. So that's a good deal. And also, just because it's the beginning of the month, I wanted to remind everyone that Games with Gold has switched over to September, which means you're going to get 4 new free games this month. This is actually one of the best months I've ever seen. I actually want to get every single one of these games. And so on Xbox One, you'll see
Battlefield 5
and Oxenfree. Yep, and then Battlefield 3 and Hydro Thunder Hurricane, which is like a boat racing game on Xbox 360.
Nice. Okay, I got the installer. I'm now installing it. All right.
Then
there's more.
And by the way, speaking of like platform wars, we were talking about digital assistants earlier. One of the other little side battles in this industry is live streaming apps. And so we know that there are things like Twitch. We know that YouTube has got their live streaming thing going on. Those guys are probably going to be a force at some point. But Microsoft has their own thing, which used to be called Beam and is now called Mixer. And I think I want to say back in May-ish or sometime over the summer, they announced something called Mixer Create, which is a mobile app for self-broadcasting on Android and iOS. That app is now available. It works a little bit differently on each platform because of the way these platforms handle games and so forth. But if you get the right game, you will be able to do things like broadcast your game from the device with you and a little picture in a picture window, and you can talk to your fans and interact with them over cellular. It's crazy. So if you're into this kind of thing, I'm not, but if you are... there it is. And if I'm not mistaken, you don't even have to play a game. Like, you could just self-broadcast. You can use it just for free broadcasting. Cool. So that's something to check out. Mixer Create. You need to have certain kinds of games. I think right now it's slightly more restrictive on iOS, but it's only because the underlying technology on iOS is new. And it's a technology that lets you do this kind of screen streaming or whatever. So that will become more prevalent, I think, on iOS over time.
Excellent. 22% complete on the download. So it's not a huge download.
No, and you'll
have
to...
It's not really Windows. It's probably just a program that disables stuff.
That's right. Sorry. So you will have to reboot, but it's not like when you install Windows 10 or if you get like a new build. If you get a new build of the Insider Preview, sorry. It's not a humongous multi-gigabyte thing. I'll just mute my microphone.
All right. I can mute it for you, Paul. Just leave it on, and I will take care of that. Because now it's time for Mary Jo Foley and her Enterprise pick of the week.
Enterprise. So this was kind of surprising, and Paul, I'm curious if you knew about this. I got this information from an IT Pro Windows 10 newsletter I subscribe to, and it came over the weekend. It said By the way, we're starting up a pilot program for Windows 10 IT Pro Insiders, or Windows 10 for Business Insiders, where we're going to create this special virtual company that we're going to call Olympia Company. And it's basically a lab for the enterprise. Did you know about that?
Did you know? I've muted him. Go ahead.
Oh.
But your note is correct. In other words, this is like a Contoso that you can share with the world, basically. So we can all be in the same company.
Yeah. So if you get into this pilot program and you're a Windows 10 Insider for Business, you'll be able to use Windows 10 Enterprise, for one, during the period that you're in the Enterprise, in the Insider Lab for Enterprise. You'll also use Office 365. And the reason Microsoft's letting you use all these things and setting you up in this virtual company is they want more feedback on certain enterprise features and that they're not getting enough of, I assume. So they want you to test things like Windows Defender Application Guard, which is one of the features coming in Fall Creators Update, Windows Hello for Business, Host Intrusion Prevention Systems. So they have a lot of things they want more enterprise insiders to test, but they know it's very resource intensive and time intensive to set up to test this kind of stuff. So the way they're getting around it is this virtual company called Olympia. The way you qualify to get into this program, if you're interested, is Microsoft has a survey, an online survey. You fill that out, and if you qualify and meet the needs they want to fill, you will be included in the program and get to try out these things basically on their dime. So that's the enterprise pick. It's called Olympia Corporation. I have a lot of links on my site if you want the survey link and more information about the site. There's a whole website set up for it already with an FAQ and examples of the kinds of things you'll get to test. So it's pretty interesting.
It's a new insider lab.
It is.
Cool. Olympia.
Olympia. So people who know Contoso and Fabricam and all those fake Microsoft companies, this is another fake company.
It's a fake company. But Olympia is a town in Washington.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And your code name of the week.
Yeah. Code name is Pendleton, town in Oregon, I believe. I heard this code name a year ago, literally. I looked it up today to see when I first had heard it, and I never could figure out exactly what it was. So today, our buddy, The Walking Cat on Twitter, H0X0D, as he's known on Twitter, posts a link to a whole document about Pendleton, like a guide for people who are in the private preview program and all. So it turns out what Pendleton is, it's a tool for data preparation and cleaning for data scientists. So the whole thinking on Microsoft's part is, you know, if you're a data scientist, you spend the vast majority of your time, and by Microsoft's estimates, 80%, extracting and cleaning data, not doing anything else, just getting the data ready to be used. So they're trying to create this tool to make it more of an automatic process. I don't know how close they are to delivering this tool, but I know they've been privately testing it for at least a year. I think it's connected to a Microsoft research project that's called Program Synthesis Using Examples, or PROSE, P-R-O-S-E. And what that is a whole effort by Microsoft to try to do programming by example, because they know not only do data scientists take up a lot of time cleaning data, they know that people who use Excel spend most of their time not programming because they're not programmers. So they're trying to find this common bridge of a way to get normal people to be able to do things without programming, and simultaneously data scientists not to spend so much of their time cleaning up data. So that's what Pendleton is.
Sounds like the name of a butler. Pendleton.
Or the Marine camp.
And they're Pendleton
Where's my
blankets.
Tea?
Pendleton blankets. Yeah, I have Pendleton. Yeah. I love my Pendleton blankets. Yep. So, Paul, their chat room wants to know, are you getting structured wiring?
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I don't know.
So I've been writing about this on the site, but this place had some kind of, still has some crazy combination of lighting controls and lights from the previous resident, who was my father. And we're going to fix that.
Are you going to put Lutec or whatever, what is it called?
The Lutron
in there.
Yeah, actually, that's where my dad worked. This house was stuck in time. So
you had the old Lutron. Now you need the new Lutron.
Yeah. So a big part of what I'm doing, though, first is just consolidating down. So like you can't see it, but over there in the wall, there were five switches for some reason. Around the corner, there were five switches. Over here, there's some master switch.
For Lutron. Six.
So we're getting rid of that stuff. So as much as we can.
I didn't know that. That's hysterical.
Yeah, so that's the first step. All right. And then, yeah.
And then are you going to run conduit to every room as long as you got the walls open there and future-proof the place?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not really doing too much wall opening. It's more like working with what's here. Because at the time, the stuff he did was, for then, modern and super modern.
Yeah.
Today, it's dated and pathetic.
Right.
So a lot of it's just fixing things. I mean, we had, if there are 10 lights in here, there were three switches that controlled some of them each. And we I made that down two, simplify it. So anyway, it's a multi-step process. But I wanted to get this hard stuff done because we're changing some of the outlet, the wall holes in the wall. We're getting rid of some of them, so then we can paint,
right?
And then we can put the modern switches on top when that's done.
Well, I think you deserve a cold, frosty.
Yes, someone does. That's
beer,
for sure.
And Mary Jo Foley happens to have one just for
I
you.
I do. You know what? It's feeling like fall here today, or autumn if you're not in one of the places where we call it fall. And so it's time to start thinking about heavier beers again, which is nice. So my pick for the week is the Allagash Triple, or Triple. You can say it either way, I believe. A triple is mostly a Belgian style beer.
I love triples.
Triples are so good.
They're very rich, though. They're thick, right?
They're so rich.
Yeah.
They're so rich.
They're often very high in alcohol, too.
Yeah. This one's only 9%.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But what's cool about a triple is it's made with triple the amount of malt of something like a Pilsner. That's why it's called triple. And a lot of times you can taste like honey and banana and clove, a lot of nice spices when you have a triple. The one from Allagash in Portland, Maine is one of the best ones we get here in the United States. And it's in bottles, it's on draft, so it should be fairly easy to find even if you're not in Maine. So that's my beer pick, the Allagash Triple.
Looks delish.
I know. Looks so good.
I'm drinking that white triple that you brought to our New Year's party some time ago from Belgium. I can't remember the name of it.
Drock. Yep, I think
it was so good. But that was a dark one. This is not so dark. This is more like an ale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be dark.
No, it doesn't have to be dark. It's usually darker than like a Pilsner or a pale ale in color. It's more like golden, kind of.
It's golden. It's beautiful.
It is. Creamy head on it. Perfect. It's the perfect looking beer.
Allagash Valley, which is right next to
Is it the hedgehog of beers?
Yes.
It's kind of the hedgehog of beers.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You can't have it at home, but please. Drink it.
Yes, but you want it at home. You can't have it.
It's the sugar glider of beers. All right.
Can we remind people about Ignite?
Yes.
Because we've been getting some questions.
Please.
Okay. Microsoft Ignite, last week of September in Orlando. We're going to be doing Windows Weekly live there in our usual slot.
I will not be there.
Not be there.
Somebody has to hold down the fort here.
Yes. Wednesday the 27th, we'll be doing it live from the convention center. So if you're at Ignite and you can find where we're doing the podcast, we're going to have room for a small live audience. So you could come and be in the audience if you want. But never fear. Even if you're not at Ignite and you want to come to our meetup, we're doing it on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So Tuesday the 26th, it's at World of Beer, the one that's on Dr. Phillips.
The aptly named.
Aptly named.
Yes.
Do they have beer there, Mary
It's
Jo?
Aspirational.
They might have beer. Yeah. And starting at 6 p.m. Tuesday the 26th, World of Beer, Dr. Phillips. No RSVP needed. Just show up. We'll be there with our beer. And yeah, everyone welcome. Even if you don't go to the show, you can come.
And just to go full circle, I know now why I can't remove the columns, because I can't get edit mode because Paul won't let me edit this document.
Oh.
So there's no view menu if I'm not in the edit mode.
Oh.
It's just the way Paul made it.
Well, I can fix that.
No, I don't want to edit it.
Goodbye, everybody.
I want to complain.
I can fix that.
Yeah, anyway, I think that's in hindsight, I think that's the issue, is that it's just I can't.
Oh, no, that must be the issue. Yeah, right. We don't let Leo mess around with the notes.
It would be a mistake.
I mean, look at this guy.
Yes.
So, all right, I will fix that.
No, don't worry. I am 77%, so I'm not going to complete this, but I will report back next week.
Okay.
I have Chrome installed on here. I have the full Office installed on here. I presume I have some other.
Well, let's take bets. What do you think is going to happen? I think it's going to still be on there and that you won't be able to run it.
That's exactly what I think, because it would be
just given the speed
challenging to uninstall Chrome anyway.
Right.
They don't block you from downloading it. They block you from running.
It would have
running.
To pave the thing over to get rid of the apps.
It's not going
to
happen.
I think the app's still going to be on there.
Yeah. I don't think I have any. I'm just looking. I don't think I've installed much on here, so I don't think I have. I might have like my Synology NAS app, things like that. But
well, it's good to test though.
Yeah,
just so you have
we'll
something.
See. Yeah, yeah. And it's almost done, but it's not quite.
I gotta get
done
going
enough.
On that. I've been meaning to test that actually.
Yeah.
All right, let me know.
Thank you, my friends.
Thank you.
We love doing this show. If you're interested in Microsoft, it's a must listen every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC. You can tune in and watch live at twit.tv/live. That's our, that actually will hook you up to Twitch or Ustream or YouTube. Because we're on YouTube, though, that means you can, well, for instance, you can say to your, if you have an Echo show, the one with the screen, you can say, Echo, watch Windows Weekly on, actually, you would say, during the live show, watch Twit Live on YouTube. And then after the show, you can listen to the podcast, watch or listen, if you have a normal Echo, listen to Windows Weekly on TuneIn, and it would play it for you. Only the most recent episode, but that's really the one you want to hear, I would imagine. You can also download them from our website, twit.tv/ww. And really, if you have a favorite podcast application like Pocket Casts or Stitcher or Overcast or iTunes or Microsoft's podcast app, you can always subscribe, and that's the best thing to do. That way, you don't have to guess. You'll know. You'll get a copy of it every time the new one comes out. Just subscribe to Windows Weekly in your favorite podcatcher. Paul Thurrott is available for he'll DJ weddings. He will clean your sewers and your gutters. He's available in many ways. He'll also do wiring in the wall. But just visit him at his website, Thurrott.com, and become a premier member like me, because you see how nice it makes your hair look. Thurott.com. The updated field guide to Windows 10 will be out as soon as Paul gets around to it, but you'll find that at lushlife.com.
Almost.
Flashmob.com.
Just getting further, a little colder.
Tinyhands.com.
Lean pub.
Lean pub. That's it. Lean pub. Here's how I remember it. It's like bacon, only without the fat, and you could get it at your friendly local pub. So that's why it's a lean pub. Or you could have been in the pub like Andy Kapp, and then you go outside and you find yourself a little woozy, so you lean against the pub. And either way, just remember that.
Sure.
And you'll go, I don't know why I think of Andy Kapp and I think of Paul Thurrott, but I do now.
That's a weird memory trigger. But.
It works. It's better than looking at your shoes. Although that works, I hear. That's what Mary Jo Foley tells us when she interviewed Steve Ballmer. You find her great work online at ZDNet.com. Actually, it's easy to find. Just go to allaboutmicrosoft.com. I remember that. I have a mnemonic for that. It's all about Microsoft. So
it's not a witty name. It is what it says it is.
It is what it is. Yep. It is what it is. Thank you both for being here. And good luck with the electrical work. Good luck with your new kitty cat, your new feline pal. He looks like adorable. He's a tabby.
Yep, brown tabby.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to restart now.
Uh-oh.
Should I do it?
Yes.
And then I can report back. You're about
to
be.
Wrong?
Yeah, what could. It will reboot your device. Does it take a while? I mean, am I going to have to wait?
I don't think it takes that long. It's not like an install, but it's going to, it's like when you get an update, like a monthly update. It will take a little while, but it's not going to be that bad.
Well, I don't know. How much do we want this information is the question. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be rebooting. I'll report back next week. It'll give them a reason to tune in. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Oh, on Windows Weekly. all your files are exactly where you left them.
Yeah, hopefully.
You hope they are.
Yeah, please.